Ready to sound off? Then it's time for you to put Washington on the spot. Every week at this time, NBC and its affiliated independent stations bring you the rare opportunity to hit Washington, D.C. with a verbal bat. This unique radio idea is your program, where you talk directly to the people who are your government. This is the program where you get the straight answers to your questions and complaints from Washington topside. Now we're ready to hear from some of your neighbors in the 48, men and women who've already written us. There's been a lot of talk lately about the increasing power of the national government. Some folks feel it's dangerous that the founding fathers built some high-powered brakes into the wheels of government to prevent the concentration of authority. Those brakes could use some relining today. Recently, a friend of mine said that the present period is the worst depression he's ever had to experience. His reason? Because the high shadows that prices cast eat up his inflated pay, and when he goes to the bank, it's only to take money out. For comparison, here's a lady whose wages are not inflated, to say the least. Chances are she doesn't even have a bank account, yet the two cases have a common ground. Let's go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
This is Evelyn Holton. Washington's idea of freezing wages leaves me cold. I work in a factory, and my take-home pay is $26.34 after deductions. Milk is 23 cents a quart. Butter, 80 cents a pound. 81 cents a dozen for eggs. And chucked beef with bone is 73 cents a pound. And chopped beef is 75% fat and isn't fit for human consumption. How am I going to live if prices keep going up and my wages don't?
In Portland, Oregon, many families are finding horse meat quite a dish. And in the Midwest, a town council has warned its citizens to keep a good watch on their cats and dogs. Does the solution lie in a heavier pay envelope? We ask John T. Dunlop, public member of the Wage Stabilization Board.
Evelyn, your question goes right to the heart of the government's wage control program. I think people are pretty generally agreed that wages have to be related to the cost of living. Industry, labor, and public representatives on our board all agree that if the cost of living continues to rise, then wages must be allowed to keep pace. That is simple fairness. The Wage Stabilization Board just recently adopted a new policy to guard against reductions in living standards during this mobilization period, when it is essential to control both wages and prices. While we have to prevent inflation, wages are not frozen as you suggest. Quite the contrary. Wages may be increased on a number of bases. You can get a merit increase. You may be promoted. Wages also rise as production increases in many plants. The latest policy adopted by the Wage Stabilization Board deals directly with the question you asked. How am I going to live if prices keep going up? The Wage Board's new policy will allow employers to give increases to their employees to match increases in living costs.
If you're an ex-GI, you'll certainly warm up to this next one. Is every soldier a fighting man? And if not, why not? We're on a street corner in big old New York.
My name is Leonard Falk of New York City. One of the news magazines recently showed that we have fewer fighting men than the Russians, side by side with a Russian division. We're supposed to have too many men who never get to fire a shot. If that's the case, it's no wonder you have to keep drafting young men. Chances are you've got enough men already in uniform to do the job. Why don't you make better use of them?
Maybe the answer is that one American is equal to five of the enemy. But let's put it up to the expert. From the Army, here is Major Forrest Kleinman.
Any paper comparison of actual fighting strength based on numbers of divisions, Leonard, is erroneous right from the start. Not only because the American division is much larger than the Russian model, but because of the difference in basic military concept behind them. The American division is organized to capitalize on American brains and technical ability. The Russian concept seems to depend more on mass. Remember General Forrest's maxim that victory goes to the army that gets there first with the most, Leonard? Well, the modern American version is to get to the decisive point first with the most firepower and maintain it. The men who maintain that superiority furnish ammunition, transportation, fast communications, medical care, fuel, and replacements. They provide the American division with a sustained power that enables it to exploit any situation, to turn little victories into big ones. Judging from the tactics of the Russian-trained and equipped divisions in Korea, the communist idea is to try to sustain their drives by massing in depth and simply pushing bodies at the point of decision. Not only has this brawn versus brain technique failed, Leonard, as you well know, but it has cost them lives at a ratio of more than 10 to 1. And that's not just a paper comparison. That's a battle-tested index to the real fighting effectiveness of your army.
Washington's got plenty of rhyme, but how about reason? For rhyme, witness this verse. There was a young man who wanted some fun and promptly came to Washington. As to reason, here's a man in Norfolk, Virginia, who feels that the Capitol is an asylum for the debris that psychoanalysts toss away.
My name is George S. Ames, 1315 West Little Bend Road, Norfolk, Virginia. Washington must be a nut house. Here they talk about licking inflation, and then I just heard that the Office of Price Stabilization is about to put 500,000 more investigators on their payroll at an annual cost of $2.5 billion. Do you call this outrageous spending a way to hold down inflation? And how can you justify it when I know there are less than 100 OPS violation cases before the Washington authorities right now?
You seem quite definite, Mr. Ames. On the other hand, you might have picked up a rumor, and then again, maybe not. I remember a terrible rumor that started in Washington early this summer. It seems that someone spotted a sign in our local zoo which said, "Lost children should be taken to the lion house." And all the time, Mr. Ames, we thought the lions were being fed horse meat. But now let's find out if this horde of 500,000 investigators is actually going to descend on the country. On the spot now is Edward Morgan, Director of Enforcement of the Office of Price Stabilization.
Mr. Ames, for the record, it may be stated that the Office of Enforcement has, at the present time, approximately 1,000 agents to cover the entire United States and its territories. It has requested, and the Bureau of the Budget has approved, an ultimate ceiling of investigative personnel of approximately 3,000 agents. As a matter of fact, the entire appropriation for the Office of Enforcement for the current fiscal year is contemplated to be less than $20 million. Now, Mr. Ames, your suggestion that there are less than 100 violations pending in the Office of Enforcement is little short of ludicrous. As a matter of fact, there are more than 10,000 cases now pending in the Office of Enforcement. During the month of July alone, over 6,600 cases were opened that required investigative attention. During that month, we filed 138 injunction suits, 13 damage suits, and 5 criminal prosecutions.
For the past quarter hour, you've been listening to Washington on the Spot. How about you? Got something on your mind you'd like to get off your chest? Put Washington on the spot yourself, and here's how. Write us at NBC, Washington, or to the NBC station to which you're listening. And don't go easy. The tougher your question or complaint, the better we like it, and so does Washington Topside. Next week, then, make it your time to put Washington on the spot. Mac McGarry speaking.